Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Coming up, the good, the bad, and the ugly of magazines on iPad.
Plus iPad 3 in March, TweetBot's coming, and iCloud, is it too good?
I don't know. All that and BuzzFeed on iPad Today.
iPad Today is brought to you by Slingbox, which can turn your iPad into a television. With the new iPad app from Slingbox, you can watch your home TV on your iPad anywhere you go. Check it out at slingbox.com/twit. And by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/iPad today. And now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm back. Look, we're both wearing TWiT shirts, too, which is really
Isn't
silly.
Isn't that great? We didn't even talk about this.
No, that's just so dorky, though.
Well, you know, this is going to make this me sound really stupid, but I used to love wearing cheerleading uniforms on game days because you didn't have to think about what you needed to wear.
I agree.
So this is like my TWiT uniform. I wear this every day.
Yeah.
It's so much easier.
Yeah.
And it's relevant.
And you're kind of like a cheerleader.
Well.
For the show.
I have.
You got great pom-poms.
I got the pipes.
Whatever.
That's all I really got is a loud voice, but whatever.
Whatever, dude.
Whatever,
So today we are going to be talking about something that the iPad really, in some ways, when it first came out, I thought this is what the iPad was made to do, which is magazines.
In fact,
I think this is one of the pitches that Apple made to a lot of publishing companies is we will give your magazine, we'll bring you into the digital age by making a perfect platform for your magazine. Has it lived up to its promise? Here we are, 2 years into the iPad era.
Well, I think it depends on who you talk to and what they're reading. I love magazines. I have downloaded many of them, at least sampled them for the show, and I wouldn't say that I'm reading them all on a regular basis. Quite the contrary. But there are certain magazines that I am faithful to. The New Yorker is one of them.
Yes.
Spin Magazine still remains one of the most fun music apps for me because they do a lot of
interactive. That's almost not a magazine. That's an app, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's, you know,
it's from a magazine.
It started, you know, from the Spin brand, but they do, you know, you can airplay songs and videos to your big TV, so I have a really good time whenever a new issue of that comes out. There's a new app from National Geographic. They have a ton of apps, actually, in the App Store.
It's funny, because they're in the newsstand as a magazine.
That's right.
But they're also, and this is, I think, very common. They want to dip their toes into the digital water in a variety of ways to get a sense of, is it better to be a newsstand and to have Apple take 30%? Is it better to make an app? I guess Apple takes 30% either way, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think with National Geographic, their brand is so strong
that they can
kind of flood the App Store. Isn't that great?
That's great. That's a 360-degree view of Venice.
This is Venice. This is the Grand Canal.
It's like being there.
It really is. This is actually a sample, by the way. You might have seen that on the cover. And you can download this issue completely free and just get a sense of if you like the magazine experience on the iPad before you go ahead and, you know, subscribe even, which is a really good idea. It's always nice when magazines do this.
Is that the same content as on the newsstand? And is it the same content as in the newsstand app? I mean, in other words, or is this something unique and special?
This is a newsstand app. This is National Geographic Traveler.
Oh, okay.
But National Geographic Traveler is just one. It's a spinoff of National Geographic, the brand. National Geographic has quite a few apps in the App Store. This just happens to be one of the latest that's new to me.
So that's not the magazine. It's an app, but it has content from the magazines.
Well, and it's a regular magazine. It's almost like you could say, you know, Condé Nast makes a bunch of different magazines, and this is their travel and leisure
Geographic
type of a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can. I mean, this is. I think any app, obviously it's not that hard to notice that any app that's sort of based on, you know, beautiful pictures. What is wrong with this? Why won't you let me go into anything here? What's wrong with you?
It's kind of interesting because was it Popular Science was the magazine that when the iPad came out, everybody got, or was it Popular? It was Popular Mechanics, I think, wasn't it?
That everybody popular got. Science.
It was Popular Science.
It was Popular Science. Popular Mechanics might have been available as well.
But it was supposed to be, look, here's the future. And at the time, I have to say, I was underwhelmed. I thought, this is hard to navigate. I don't quite get it. I didn't think it was a replacement for the magazine. Now, ironically, Popular Science is part of Newsstand. In fact, many of these apps have now become part of Newsstand. But this is an app, not a Newsstand magazine. I like
this.
And
why do you say that Newsstand stuff aren't apps?
Oh, are they?
Well, I mean, they all act like apps.
I just thought it was...
You open them, and then, you know, you can fast switch between them all the way that you would with any other app.
So Newsstand is just a folder?
Yeah. Oh. It's just a category, really. I mean, Newsstand is also its own store.
Yeah.
Newsstand has its own area of the app store.
Okay.
But I consider pretty much anything that you can open
Newsstand
and switch back and forth between.
Got it.
Newsstand is just a category. Because really, if you think about it, there are some, if you look at my iPad, there's some stuff that automatically goes into Newsstand. It's not really up to me. They're just categorized that way.
Mm-hmm.
But then I've got all these other reading apps that, you know, there's no real rhyme or reason to why they're not also in Newsstand. It's just something that Apple categorized.
Well, The Economist is a good example. It actually is in both Newsstand and
That's
there's an Economist app.
Yeah.
Well, so I'm not clear then. I'm very confused about it's a folder, but then I feel like Newsstand adds features. It certainly has its own dedicated store, so I don't know.
But once the app is open, then it just does whatever
app.
It
an
does.
App is
it's
an
not
app.
As if all Newsstand apps act the same.
Well, I'll show you why I was confused.
Okay.
In the earliest days of magazines, there was an app called Xenio,
mm-hmm.
Which was an app that publishers would use, and this was even on desktop computers, to create digital magazines. You would buy the Xenio player, and you could subscribe to the magazines, as you still can. If I go out into the Xenio store, this is the table of contents of a magazine. Let me exit T3. You go to the Xenio store, and there are magazines in all sorts of categories. So I always thought of Newsstand as kind of a competitor to Xenio, because Xenio really provides a platform that makes it easy to do digital publishing. I'll give you an example.
But it's not Apple's platform.
It's not Apple's platform. This is T3, which is a British a gadget magazine. A lot of people love this magazine. $5 for an issue. You subscribe for $33.99. I would suspect that they have the same issue, if you'll forgive me, with this that they would have with Apple, which is that a certain percentage of the subscription goes to Xenio. Or maybe they – I don't know what the deal is. Maybe they pay – a Xenio for that. I'm not sure. But let me open a magazine and I'll show you. I'm going to go leave the shop and go into the reading thing. This probably feels a little bit old-fashioned now. You saw that we got at the bottom, we got this kind of slider of all the pages. I also showed you that you can also look at pages this way. Really, these do feel like scans of actual magazine pages, and I think that's partly what Xenio is selling, is the notion that your magazine can be translated into a computer app. You can zoom, you can a little bit, you can pinch and zoom, but you have to because otherwise you wouldn't be able to read the text. But
it's kind of the 1.0 of...
This is 1.0.
Of how magazines
this is 1.0.
are being consumed now.
And what's interesting is you would expect, as it would be on the Newsstand, that these would be hyperlinks. They're not. This is a scan, frankly, of a magazine.
See, this is why the non-touch Kindles bother me. Because I want to touch stuff and
right.
have things open.
Yeah, I mean, at least I can zoom.
Yeah, that's true.
But, so this is Xenio. This is, you're right, 1.0.
Yeah.
I agree.
One of the earliest magazines that the iPad can certainly claim to be the only place where you can get it is The Daily. Now, The Daily launched just about a year ago.
Flop, hasn't it? Isn't it?
Well,
can we say that? This is Rupert Murdoch's attempt to create a daily newspaper / magazine.
iPad only.
That's iPad only. Mm-hmm. That is really a lock-in. There's no hyperlinking out of it. You can share stuff, but not directly. It's really, I would think, Rupert Murdoch's attempt to keep his old business model alive on the new platform.
And
and he hired real journalists. He had a big newsroom. I know some journalists who left traditional media to go, and they were very excited about going to The Daily.
Yeah, yeah. We talk to people all the time who work at The Daily. The the magazine itself is really
That's
nice.
Beautiful.
I mean, it's obviously very iPad oriented. These are all sort of, it's obviously meant to be a bit of a daily read. And you've got your different categories. You want to go political. You want to go business. You want to go entertainment. I mean, this is a News Corp company. So that is either going to appeal to some people or repel others. But that aside, I mean, it's set up really well, kind of a little bit for everybody.
I think they have real journalists and they really attempt to do a
Fair job. It's supposed to be a well-rounded publication, and it's put together really well. But some of the stats, and this is again, they're just about a year old. They had their 1 year anniversary on February 2nd. David Brinker, who is the senior vice president of business development at the Daily, said on a CES panel, "Yeah, well, maybe our anniversary should have actually been the date that we launched the app the first time."
Wow.
Meaning, we might have been about a year early.
Wow.
He also does say, though, listen, this is a marketplace that takes 3 years to develop, and we're just in that first year. So we don't think this is a flop. That said, The Daily itself reported in October that it had 80,000 paying subscribers. You know how much it needs to turn a profit? 500.
Oh, well, they're doing all right then. That's $80,000 a week. Because it's a dollar a week, isn't it? Is that what it is?
Well, it's roughly $0.99 a week.
A week, so that's $80,000. See, that seems like not enough to sustain a newsroom of 100 people.
I mean, they don't even have, you know, 25% of what they need to sustain. So it doesn't mean, I mean, I guess it's
Oh, you said 500,000.
Yeah.
Not 500.
Oh, Leo, no, sorry. Yes, 500K.
Wow, they're really not paying people.
All we need is 500 people to read this magazine and we're going to turn a great profit.
The brain not completely working. Got it. So they're really less than a fifth of the way towards what profitability. That makes much more sense.
Correct.
Yeah, it makes much more sense.
So that's the problem with The Daily. You can say, well, you know, they'll never go anywhere. But again, hey, if they're in it for the longer haul than just a year, after 1 year, I mean, there's certainly a proof of concept that people will read this regularly,
right.
But it's just not enough for them to be able to pay their staff.
Right. Which, in a way, on the one hand, I'm a little saddened because so many great journalists work there, and it's a 100-person newsroom, and it's kind of, I mean, somebody, we're trying to save journalism and invent a new way of doing it. But I'm less than sad because it isn't really in the tradition of the free and open web where there's an exchange of links. Rupert Murdoch doesn't like the idea of links. It's a kind of a silo. It's a closed thing. Beautiful experience, well designed. Now, that one's not in Newsstand.
No, it is.
It is in Newsstand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Richard Branson made a big deal about Project. Remember that? You've got it right there.
Yeah, I do. Where is my Project?
It's on the left,
there,
yeah. So this was shortly after Murdoch. He said, well, we're going to do a magazine just for the iPad called Project. What do you think of Project? Have you played with it at all?
Well, we talked about Project when it first launched on this show.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think I've downloaded much since. I think they gave us, what was it? It was like a month free or
right.
something like that.
Right. Same thing that the Daily did. Remember, it did
a
free trial. And I think a lot of people tried it and just, didn't buy.
I mean, you can obviously, I mean, I haven't downloaded any of this stuff, so I couldn't pretend to say that I've been keeping up on Project. But that's sort of the problem, right? It's like, it's the issue that I also have with The New Yorker is like, I have to really try to keep up on The New Yorker. And it's not because it's not a good magazine. It's because when it's piling up on my coffee table,
right. There's
that. But when it's on my iPad, I don't even see it. I don't know. It's not bothering me. And then all of a sudden, I'm almost out of space.
Right.
So
that's exactly why I like the digital version of the New Yorker. Now, New Yorker, like New York Times and other magazines, if you subscribe to the paper edition, gives you free access to the edition on the iPad. And so that's, you know, I get the paper edition because my family likes to take it. Abby used to take it upstairs and disappear with it. We never see it again. So I've always got the paper. My whole life, I've always got the paper New Yorker. And always, as you said, you feel guilty because it stacks up and you never read it. I feel much less guilty about having it on the iPad. And I do look at it often. I just want to show you because this week's New Yorker is a particularly interesting New Yorker for us. The cover is an iPad cover. So we got to look at it because.
What does that mean?
Well, remember that the anniversary issue is this time of year every year and has Eustace Tilley, who was the guy looking at the butterfly, was the first New Yorker. He is the New Yorker, the first New Yorker cover. And they did a contest for a Eustace cover for a variety of people, and this was the winner. It's called Loading by Brett Colbert of New Haven, Connecticut.
And it is actually Loading.
It's,
How about that?
In fact, if you look at it, you might have been a little puzzled by the whole thing. Let me go back and show you the cover, just the cover by itself. How do I get back to it? See, this is what I don't like about digital magazines. Now I'm stuck in a Dunhill ad for the rest of my life.
Well, Leo, calm down, calm down, calm down.
Okay, what should I do?
I think that
Press that.
There you go.
There, and then that again.
But it seems to be sort of, it's stuck loading.
Yeah, I don't. No, but that's what's funny about the cover. In fact, I took a picture and I put it on my
pad.
Oh,
that's what that's the cover?
That's the cover. It's a blurry.
Go back, yeah.
Oh, God. Good luck showing it. This is, by the way, exactly my frustration in general. There we go. That's not quite it, though. I want to see the whole cover. Because this is a slideshow of all the different.
Do you need me to do this?
Cover, please. There we go. Okay, now it's loading. So it looks like it's loading because it's blurry.
That's
the cover.
Oh. Talk about confusing. I don't even think that's very clever.
Well, if you see it on the newsstand, it's a little weird because you feel like, what? It's out of focus.
I still feel that way.
It's the iPad loading icon. And you see, this is in focus. New Yorker's in focus. And when I took the picture and put it on my Facebook, I had my address label so you could see that it wasn't that the picture was out of focus.
Oh, see, on a physical copy.
It makes more sense on a physical copy.
Yeah, yeah. Because in that, you just go like, come on. There's something wrong with our Wi-Fi.
Now, this has links so that you can jump around. I do think it's a little easier to navigate. My favorite feature of the New Yorker, though, I have to say, is the ability to read the cartoons directly. So, you know, I don't know about you, but I love the cartoons in the New Yorker. You can just
People who watch the show regularly know this, because you always say this. Once you get into New Yorker stuff, you start talking about those cartoons that you love so much.
So you don't have to read the magazine. It's like Playboy. I read it for the cartoons.
That heavy,
political. You could just go through all the cartoons.
No fiction.
Don't you think that's great?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
So I think this is, you know, once you, admittedly, I had a little difficulty navigating around. But once you kind of understand it, it's certainly an easy way to read. It doesn't really replace, I guess, these were some of the other entries. Here's the Chrysler Building with Eustace in the window there. Here's a Picasso Guernica edition.
I think what's interesting is anytime you go to the newsstand store, more and more there are... it has calmed down a little bit because most of the big magazines, the big publishers rush to get their apps out there. And so you either are reading them or you're not. But there's so much to choose from. But it's not as if people's habits are going to be drastically different. I mean, how many magazines do you pick up at the newsstand at a grocery store on a weekly basis or even a monthly basis? Not that many. And I think that that's true for iPad apps, too. It's very easy to get the issue. You don't actually have to be at a physical newsstand, but you're still not gaining a bunch of extra time to sit around and read. So you kind of have to pick and choose what's good for you. I just wanted to quickly note when I was showing off the National Geographic Traveler, I mentioned that they have all sorts of apps. And National Geographic does a series of one-offs. One of them, this is not brand new. This is a few months old, but it's totally free. It's really, really interesting. It's called 7 Billion. And it's all about the world's population and why, you know, we've got all these people here and you know, what it all means and which countries are developing more quickly and which countries aren't. And
that's cool.
Yeah, and from a National Geographic perspective, because this is what they do,
right.
You know, it's not just photos and travel, it's commentary on all of this stuff. This is a really, really interesting app. I recommend it to anybody who's just interested in kind of the anthropological and geographical statistics, really. And it's not all doom and gloom. I mean, a lot of this stuff where you go like, oh, the world, too many people, we're just going to self-destruct. Hey, there's a lot of facts to be gleaned from this, too, but it's not as if that's the only app's agenda. It's almost like a really good educational tool. So you can download that, too. National Geographic they've got cool stuff. Again, that app is called 7 Billion.
Of course, one of the nice things about Newsstand is it has a feature that, for instance, like the New York Times can do notifications from Newsstand. So that is one of the things that is unique about Newsstand, if you're in the Newsstand. And that's why I subscribe to the paper, I get New York Times for free, and I get my breaking news as notifications in iOS, which is really nice, from the New York Times. Let me show you another magazine from our friends at Engadget. This is called Distro. What's nice about this, it's free. And so it's a kind of a free version of Engadget in the Newsstand. And if you're a tech lover or a Twit viewer, this is probably a good thing for you.
Yeah,
to
I
have.
Think a good amount of our audience is reading Engadget daily.
Yeah,
and certainly on a regular basis. And they've got a really nice website, but this is it's sort of the most beautiful Engadget you'll see.
Yeah. They have Engadget for the iPad, so...
And it's more of a magazine format.
It's called Distro. And there is content on here that is not apparently available on Engadget. For instance, if I go back to the summer, you could see an interview with our own Tom Merritt. I guess it's too late. They don't have far enough back. So if you missed it, you missed it. But so that's another reason. Look at the CES coverage. Three issues of Distro for CES.
That was the... Oh, Tom's not behind us anymore. I think that was the Growing Up Geek... article, which was available on the website as well.
Yeah. Oh, it was? Oh, good.
I think
okay.
What they do for Distro is they're just sort of, they're selective about what gets into the issue.
Right.
So
and
it's not just going to be every live blog or every right. rumor, that right. sort of thing.
I think if you have a limited amount of time and you're interested in gadgets, Distro is probably pretty good. And it is free, which is nice. So you could subscribe, and that means you'll get it automatically delivered to your iPad. So there is some stuff in Newsstand that's free, which I think is fantastic.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You don't have to pay for everything. And again, if you're interested in some of these magazines, they do, if you're new to it, like my National Geographic Traveler, which I would pay for, but it's like, hey, you want to give me a free issue and see if you can hook me?
Right.
Absolutely, I will
right.
take advantage of
and
that.
And most of them do that, yeah.
If you're going on a long trip and you know you're going to have some time to kill, get in there and you can
That's
at least have
point.
Some samples.
You could read every magazine once.
Yeah.
Never read it again.
And then the stuff that you like, you know that you like it
right.
because you've spent some time with it. So, all right, so we talked about a few different magazine apps. I think the takeaway is... Hey, you know, you have something like The Daily, which is still trying to prove itself as a model that is independently on the iPad, nowhere else. And then you've got the older models that are still trying to make the transition that's going to keep everybody happy. It's just a really interesting space on iPad now and will continue to be so as Apple sort of ramps up their Newsstand. And, you know, we got iOS 5.1 coming any day now, so... I'm interested to see how things change. For now, for the links to the apps that we mentioned on this show, you can visit iPad Today at twit.tv/IPT. You know that already, but I feel like I need to remind you. That's where you can watch all of our past episodes. All of the links to everything that we talk about in each episode are on those episode pages. So, you know, last week, for example, Leah was off gallivanting with Kelly Ripa.
MG's wearing the cowboy
yeah,
hat. That
yeah.
looks good.
We went country. We went True Grit, and yeah, it was a great episode. And you know, if you missed it, you can watch it right from the website. You can see all the links to everything that we mentioned. And if you want to subscribe to the show, we make that really easy as well. We've got audio and video links, and that's really the easiest way because then you don't have to worry about when are they live, when's a new episode. It'll just be delivered to you, absolutely free. Of course, we're the free app in the Newsstand. So there's that.
There you go.
But if you do want to watch us live, and actually, that's the best. In a perfect world, you all be watching us live. 1:30 p.m. Pacific, 4:30 p.m. Eastern on Thursdays.
Somebody's saying that's the Brokeback Mountain edition last week.
Wish I could quit you, Distro, but I can't.
Let's talk a little bit about Sling and get on with the show. Sling Box is, of course, the box. What are you doing?
I'm slinging.
It's more like you're whipping.
Yeah.
It's like the whip box. I don't know if they make that.
Sling that
you
box.
You must sling it. Did you ever work short order cook kind of thing?
No.
Were you slinging hash? You ever do that?
No.
Yeah, that's not what the sling box is.
No, it isn't.
Sling box is a device. You can go to Best Buy, Amazon has it. You can go to slingbox.com and find out more. That will turn not only your iPad, but your computer, your phone, into your home entertainment unit. First, you get the Sling Box, right? So the Sling Box, and I recommend the Pro HD. That's nice. You connect, that's it right there. You click on that, and we'll see right here. You get the Sling Box Pro HD. You can get the Solo, but I would do this. So what happens is you bring that home, and you connect it to your home entertainment system. It's got connections and pass-throughs for everything. You hook everything up, and then you hook up the Sling Box. There you go. You hook up the Sling Box to the internet. Now, what that's doing is it's putting your whole home entertainment unit online, password protected, of course, but that means wherever you go, you can log on to your Sling Box via your computer, via your iPad, and start watching all the home entertainment. No additional fees because you already paid for your cable or your satellite. You already got all that stuff. You can control your DVR. You can set recordings. You can play back. You can watch anything you've recorded in the past. It works on the iPad, any smartphone, the iPod Touch, using Wi-Fi, a laptop, or a tablet. Slingbox. It is really the most amazing device ever, and I want you to find out more. You can visit the site. That's where we are right now, slingbox.com/twit, or check it out at Best Buy or Amazon. Slingbox makes your iPad into what it really always wanted to be, which is the ultimate personal television.
And not just any television, but your television.
Yours.
With your saved shows.
It's very personal.
And your DVR, and you're pausing
so
when you
cool.
need to walk away.
Yes.
It's crazy.
It's, you know
it
what I started
it
doing?
It should work, but it does.
I realized, because when I'm lying in bed, and the TV is like at the foot of the bed across mm-hmm. a little ways, and I realized that if I actually have my iPad here, I compared it to the screen. It's actually bigger
right.
than my TV screen.
And you're probably straining your eyes a little less.
Right. And you can control it and everything. So I've actually taken to watching TV on my iPad with the Slingbox or on these Netflix or whatever. And mm-hmm. it's a great experience.
Yeah.
That's, go figure. That's, it's as big as my 55-inch TV because that's across the room. It's
well,
bigger.
And do you use your headphones in that
yeah.
situation? Yes or no?
Because
some,
yeah.
I mean, the iPad doesn't have the most amazing speakers.
You don't
speakers,
have to, but yeah.
But when I have my headphones, sometimes when I'm holding. Yeah, I feel, I don't know, it's more comfortable or something.
Isn't that funny? I mean, it's just kind of nutty. I had never really thought of it. I thought, no, you got to watch it on a big screen TV. But because of the distance, like 10, 15 feet away, it's smaller than an iPad right up front.
Well, if you have something like a Slingbox, then you have options.
Then you're set, man.
Then you're good.
You're good.
So, hey, we were talking about the resolution and straining your eyes.
Yes.
And there's this rumor, you know, the iPad 3 rumor. What's it going to have?
This is true?
Retina display.
That's what they say.
ASICs processor, possibly.
LTE or 4G.
LTE, yeah. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
And now the latest rumor is iPad 3, first week in March. Now, this is something that right before TNT yesterday, we saw a little bit about this, and we all said, God, you know, Apple rumor. I mean, they're a dime a dozen. Let's wait a minute. And before we start talking about this and putting this into our lineup, and now everybody's talking about it.
Well, it's on All Things D. They have usually pretty good resources. One of the ways they're deciding this, and also the data WWDC, is looking at the Herba Buena Center for the Arts, Moscone Center in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. Apple has always had the iPad announcement there, and it's kind of a smallish auditorium in the Moscone Center. And they look at the schedule for it, and there's a hole there, right? So they go, oh, that must be it. But it could be Samsung. It could be Range Rover. We don't know.
But the thing is, okay, there are a few reasons that this isn't too far-fetched. Number one, this is the exact same time that Apple did this last year.
Right.
Because it was a week before we all went down to South by Southwest in Austin, and that's where we had to get our iPads because that's where we were.
And the year before, same thing.
The year before.
March.
The year before, same thing.
First iPad. They announced. Now, that was a case where they announced in January, released in March, but that's because it was the first one. And
the second one only had, I mean, it was about a week. I think technically it was like 10 days.
And this one, they could make it even shorter because we have heard for months rumors that they are cranking them out like crazy.
Exactly.
Since like October or November.
There's also Mobile World Congress, which is a big mobile show. It's happening in Barcelona.
That's February 29th.
February 29th. Now, that is a week later than it has been historically in years past. Does that really matter? Well, no, not really, except that you don't have to be in Barcelona for Valentine's Day, if that would bother you. But
aren't you kidding? That's the best place to be for Valentine's Day.
I would think, yes. Yeah. Very romantic city.
Let
so
me recommend.
Much eating and theft.
The I recommend the pink soup at the Ritz in Barcelona.
Oh, Leo, you know.
For Valentine's Day.
We can't
Day.
All go to the Ritz for Valentine's
it's
Day.
It's pink.
But thanks for the
It looks
great
like
tip.
Little candy hearts.
How cute.
Yeah.
That's fun.
And you could write, I love you, in pepper sauce.
But think about this.
Yes.
Now Mobile World Congress is a little bit later, and
right.
Apple could steal their thunder. Apple loves
they
doing that.
They do love doing that.
At
you think they'd announce it the same day as MWC?
I think they'd love to. Why not?
You know, just to add to that, we just learned, and we were talking about it on Windows Weekly this morning, that there's going to be the big, get ready for this, Windows 8 release of their consumer preview February 29th at Mobile World Congress.
Uh-huh.
Guess what that is?
I love the
it's
consumer preview, formerly known as beta.
Beta, but it's the tablet edition of Windows 8. If you want to steal somebody's thunder, say, hey, oh, and by the way, yeah, Microsoft, that's nice, but what about this?
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, mm-hmm. so.
Now, we don't know.
None of this is based in fact,
this is
by
all,
the way.
This is all
this
rumor.
This is fairy tale.
This is all rumor.
Fantasy.
Well, But there's some truth to it. Historically, the numbers start to add up.
It's like that story that ran about me and Scarlett Johansson.
You know what the best part is? Is that it's the 29th, which is a weird leap year day.
Oh, it's a leap day.
So it just kind of makes it all cooler if it turns out to be true.
Do you think...
What?
That they will announce... See, this is what the All Things D is saying. Apple's not holding an event in February, but they say it's holding one in March.
Right. But so, that would be about a week before.
No.
Yeah,
it'd be a week later. It'd be after.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is the thunder would be stolen by Apple sending out invitations.
Oh,
because they
go.
Have to do that a week early.
So the invitations go out.
Yeah. There's a whole news cycle here. Invitations. People
You're
go,
right.
Oh, my God, it's going to be event.
Right.
Then there's the event. Oh, my God, it's going to be iPad.
And in fact, you get more
iPad.
Attention for the invitation because it doesn't tell you what the specs are.
Right.
So you
and
get everybody going crazy saying, oh, is it Retina? Is it LTE?
So then it's like Microsoft, yeah. But what's Apple going to do?
Yeah.
That's at least what Apple in the perfect world would love people to say.
Well, okay. There's no evidence of this, but it does seem sensible.
Well, there are also there was a iPad case, not a case, an external case, but actually the casing for the iPad leaked for supposedly what is the iPad 3, which has some minor changes. I think it was 9to5Mac.
Yeah, remember that with the iPad 2, we had that whole thing, and we went to the iLounge, and there were all those iPad 2 cases.
And a lot of that stuff.
They're just making it up. They're going, well, I think there'll be holes here.
No, but I'm not talking about case makers. I'm talking about somebody who got their hands on
a piece of it.
What is supposedly,
right.
Well, a plan.
I remember seeing that.
A
yeah,
plan
yeah.
for how it would be manufactured.
We've heard so many bad rumors in the past that I'm not going to.
So Mark actually has, on the same topic, he wrote in with a question, a little bit of a conspiracy theory. Have you noticed that the new iPad gets released each year around the same time that most people are getting their tax refunds?
What's a tax refund?
Yeah, I don't know either. I would guess that many, like myself, dedicate the tax refund to buying something like a new iPad. Do you think Apple thought of this?
No.
I don't think so either.
No.
I think Apple's probably like, a lot of our customers have to pay in taxes because, they make good income and they're not getting big refunds.
I can't imagine that actually goes, that they would say, when would be a good time to release the iPad? Well, tax refunds come out in March.
Right. Well, especially since, I guess a lot of people would get their refunds around that time, but...
Actually, that's an interesting question, though, is why would you pick March? Wouldn't you want to pick September or maybe August when back-to-school time is?
But that's more of their iPhone cycle, and they would rather...
Well, it didn't used to be. It is last year.
Well, it is now, yeah. So, once the iPad got introduced, it seems like they decided, let's kind of have... We'll have our beginning of the year fanfare, our end of the year
They
fanfare.
Used to do their iPod releases around then, and that was definitely because it's back to school.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should release the iPad when most people get their Hanukkah money.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I thought. Just an idea.
It's a little late in the holiday season for that.
That's the point. It's dumb. There's lots of good times. I don't know why March... I really don't know why March.
I for one, am glad because March is right around the corner, and I'm excited.
Yeah.
And we need a new iPad. Come on.
I think
keep
maybe
the
March.
Interesting and hip.
I think maybe March because they wanted to do a January announcement a couple of years back.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to do a January announcement. I can't think of anything else.
Steve in Vermont.
They should have it during my birthday because that's when I have the most cash.
When's your B-Day?
November 29th.
Oh, well, that's...
Please release the iPad.
Going back to the Hanukkah time again.
Yeah
right.
Roughly the same.
November 29th, huh?
Yeah, what about that?
Yeah, what about it? Yeah, that's true. We celebrate your birthday, not that
We could do it on your birthday. When's your birthday?
October.
Damn. We need somebody with a birthday in March. Anybody?
My mom.
Well, Linnell's birthday.
April 14th.
That's too late. That's tax
time.
I'm sorry. Don't be.
Linnell's birthday. Apple will release the iPad for Linnell.
March 12th, everybody. You heard it here.
I think that's perfect.
I do
think
too.
That's perfect.
It might be totally perfect.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Mom, in advance. Stephen Vermont has a great duh tip for those of us who have too many notifications. Chris Martin wrote in with the same tip.
So when you turn on your iPad or your iPhone, you see these alerts right on the desktop.
I hate those.
All you have to do is grab one of them.
And it jumps right to it.
And it goes right to the website or
yes, sir.
To the application. It's as simple as that. No more having to go to the home screen and then sort through all your apps to get to where you need to go. All right, that's it.
Thank you.
So there you have it. A great duh tip from the great...
It's Wilfred Brimley.
He's got teddy bears.
Hey, Wilfred.
He did look like Wilford, and I mean that in the nicest way possible, because Wilford Brimley apparently isn't aging anymore.
He looks exactly the same
that he did 30 years ago.
If you look like you're 60 when you're 30, then by the time you're 60, you still look like you're 60. So, of course, that works. And people who use an iPhone are going, of course, because it's a natural way to do it on the iPhone. But it also works even when you're not locked. You can jump to any notification just by swiping it. Maybe not.
Not a notification center. This is just for
alerts. Well, you click it. You tap it.
You tap it.
Swiping it as if it's locked.
Right. And that can really come in handy. And again, I mean, notifications, that is really actually something I hope that they address. I know that it's better than it used to be, but notifications are still pretty convoluted where you've got, you know, if I go into my notification center.
Well, you saw how many I had. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So it's like I've got my stuff that's in notification center, which is this guy. You know, and then of those, I can decide, do I want no alerts? Do I want banner alerts, which are up at the top? Do I want straight up alerts? That's what he was talking about.
Right.
Those are the alerts that pop up in the middle of your screen and you think, oh, crap, I have to unlock my iPad. And now I've got to, like, remember what alerted me and go to all of those apps. You don't have to do that.
And actually, I think that's the reason they do it, because it's true. If you are locked on your iPhone or your iPad, you're seeing the notifications. But as soon as you unlock it, the notification goes away.
Right.
So it is. That's why they do it. It's a quick way to go to that particular notification.
We have an iPad Star of the Week, Leo, and guess who it is?
I don't know. Let's see.
It is you.
Me?
Yeah, Peter made this.
That doesn't look like me.
This is DJ Leo D. You thought it was Polly D, but no, on a closer inspection, that's
you. That's pretty funny. Thank you, I guess.
You're looking good. Looking real good.
Actually look like that.
He made this on...
If I were to wear a tank top,
with
that's
a free
see.
Program called Cooler Picks Studio.
Oh, that's neat. So it does it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that retouch program.
Yeah, thanks, Peter. Gosh, I thought he'd like that a little bit more. You never know what's going to make Leo happy.
Grease me up and put me in a tank top. There's nothing better.
You got to do it. Beat the beat back. Let's talk. Let's go into.
Is that Jersey Shore?
Yeah.
Is that okay? See,
yeah.
I don't know.
Well, all right.
That's my problem.
Well, now you can watch Jersey Shore on Amazon.
I know. Saw that. Exciting.
Yeah, I just know.
Very exciting and free.
Well, you know, I was like, well, at least Netflix doesn't have it, and then Ayaz said, no, it does.
Yeah.
So I guess you can get it everywhere.
Everywhere.
You can get it on Hulu, too.
Jersey Shore, you can't escape it.
I
missed. I was at Live with Kelly on Friday. It turns out Snooki was in on Thursday. I blew it.
Bummer. You missed her by a day.
Yeah. Could have been in the tabloids.
She's smaller than me.
Yeah.
Which is hard to do.
Well, height-wise, she's smaller than you.
Yeah, she's got more. Yeah. Of that. Got an email from Brandon in Toronto, Canada, who says, I was watching the Madonna halftime show last Sunday from the Super Bowl and spotted what I think was an iPad used in an LMFAO DJ rig.
I'd like to see that image.
Yep. Looks like an iPad to me.
Where?
Okay, see the hand he's pointing towards her?
Yeah.
Right under that hand.
Is that below it? Low, low, low. Is that an iPad?
That's an iPad.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yep.
Is it?
Yep.
Or is it a music stand?
No, it's an iPad on a stand.
Why would they have a music stand anyway? Do you think that they actually...
Because they're not playing anything. They're just pressing buttons.
They weren't even pressing buttons. So that's a prop, because I guarantee you they weren't making the music. It was all recorded.
She wasn't even singing.
No,
that was all
recorded
too.
Yeah.
The whole thing was recorded.
But that was...
look at that picture. Should I go back to
that? Let's go back.
Wait, whatever. Like, what is going on there?
Yeah.
That was the Super Bowl halftime show?
Yeah.
Madonna, get down.
No, it was a great... Did you... I loved it. I decided from now on, I come on stage here, I'm going to have burly, half-clad
Madonna,
men
get down.
Pulling my sled.
Come on.
I liked it. I thought it was the best halftime show in years, since Prince. That's
okay.
Not saying much.
We had a Madonna bingo game, so we had a lot of fun. Because she did a lot of
bingo
stuff
game.
That we were going to drink.
Your bingo game. That was very funny. Yeah,
it was a good time. So apparently, iPads now used as props in Super Bowl halftime shows, which means we have arrived.
Most people liked the halftime show, I think.
I mean, it's like, it was entertaining, but I...
You didn't like it.
No, it's not that... I'm not a huge Madonna fan, I'll be honest.
What I loved is that they took over the field with a giant screen, and you didn't know it was a screen at first, and then the Vogue thing happened, and suddenly you realized, my God, they've put an entire screen over the field.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Well, Super Bowl halftime shows are the biggest spectacle.
Extravaganza.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
And it was a Madonna extravaganza, for better or for worse.
CeeLo was great.
I
love the sequin choir robes. Everybody should have some of those.
He is awesome.
He's great.
He just makes a party.
Yeah.
You could just bring CeeLo up on stage, and all of a sudden, everybody's having a good time. We got a voicemail from Pat, who thinks iCloud is working just a little bit too well.
What? How can it work too well?
Hey, Sarah. This is Pat, and I have a problem with iCloud. I tried to take some pictures and realized that I took a picture of a before, and I can take it off my device, but it's still in the cloud. So when I'm seeing these things on my Apple TV from the cloud, they're all still there.
I know.
So how do you get a picture out of the cloud?
He took a picture of
Thanks.
The floor.
You know, I had to listen to that a few times because I thought he said porn, where
well,
I was like, well, at least you're being honest.
It was his butt. We know that. So this is the problem.
The floor.
This is the problem. And this isn't iCloud. This is PhotoStream. It's a terrible, terrible idea. Apple has said they're going to fix this. Mm-hmm. But as it stands right now, it's all or nothing. You either have every image you've ever taken on your iPad or iPhone uploaded to every other device so that everybody could see it. And, you know, the perfect example is your Apple TV screensaver.
Right.
Just what you want on your big screen.
Yeah.
So you got either – so I turn it off everywhere. Now, here's the solution, and it's not a good solution. If you turn it off on all your devices and then go to iCloud.com and turn off PhotoStream. You can't access PhotoStream. You can only turn it off. If you turn it off, it will delete copies everywhere. Now, you're going to lose all those pictures except for the local one. So if you want to save any of them, here's my suggestion. So this is what I did. You open iPhoto on your Mac. I hope you have a Mac because I don't know what you do if you're on a PC. You open iPhoto on a Mac. You turn on PhotoStream. You can select any images you want from that PhotoStream, save them to iPhoto so that you've got copies. Now, turn off PhotoStream everywhere, including iCloud.com. Everything will be deleted and you start fresh. But if a picture that you don't want grandma to see is going to go on your Apple TV, you got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So Apple says what they're going to do is give you, and this is what you need, picture-by-picture deletion from iCloud.
Right. Or just you can have folders that are synced and other folders that aren't. But then
no, it's all or nothing.
No, well, I mean,
oh, they
that
could
would
do that.
Be nice.
Yes, that would be
that
a good
would be,
idea,
like,
too.
But, I mean, there are some pictures where it's like, I'm not embarrassed of them necessarily, but I don't need them displayed on my Apple TV because we do that at home.
Right. The problem is, do you have photos folders on your iPad or iPhone? No.
No, but
so
that would be
all,
nice.
So this is the thing. Your photo stream is either on or it's off. If it's on, everything I take on the iPad is going to go to every other device I have willy-nilly.
Which is great if you are Trey Ratcliffe and curating every photo with beautiful HDR.
That's kind of the issue, is especially Trey Ratcliffe. One of the reasons we love his photos is I'm sure he throws out a few photos for everyone he publishes.
Yes.
So do you really want to publish on your stream? I don't know why they even thought this was a good idea. On every picture you take? No, most. I have a picture. I can't figure out where it came from. I think I was scratching my head with my iPhone. It looks, it's just a big fuzz ball. Mm-hmm. And I don't want that everywhere.
Right.
Right?
Well, and the thing is, you know, you may delete it at some time later when you have time to, like, look at your past 30 pictures.
Too late.
And go,
it's on the photo stream.
This stuff is junk. Yeah, you don't, usually people don't do that right at the very second. Sometimes they do.
You know, I've tried, actually. I've been curious. How soon does it become part of the photo stream? So I've actually tried that. Can you delete it right away? Oh, my God, that's terrible. Like, quick, delete it. And I don't know. I haven't figured that out.
Is there any setting with an iCloud to maybe sync just once an hour rather than once every 5 minutes? I haven't actually gone in to do that.
It's on or off
for
photo stream.
But you figure that there's probably a way to delete something quick before it syncs because it's not syncing every second. It's pinging. It's like a ping sync.
It must be, but
I don't know the answer. If anyone knows the answer, will you let us know?
I'll give you. And somebody's saying it only works on Wi-Fi. That's true, but I mean,
there's a lot of Wi-Fi out there.
There's a lot of Wi-Fi.
Especially if you've got this turned on, it's probably going to happen regularly. Reminder that we love hearing from you guys. Videos, voicemails, emails, tweets, we read it all.
All that
Thank
crap.
You so much. All that crap is actually very helpful.
Please.
You can write us at iPadToday at twit.tv. You can leave us a voicemail at 757-504-IPAD, or you can send us a video. It can be a question, a comment, anything. Just upload it somewhere and send us the link. Email us the link. And we'll be happy to try to put in one of our shows. Leo, I'm going to get my app cap ready while you tell everyone a little bit about why Audible is so awesome.
Okay, I was just going to show you. This is the picture. I think I was scratching my head. I don't know what it was, but there it was, and it's embarrassing. I don't want to have that on my...
Oh, you put that up everywhere. I saw that, like, on Path, Facebook, Instagram.
I did.
That was...
I was going to show you
but
that.
But you also don't have a lot of shame, so you don't
no
care.
Shame. What would I wear this if I did? I was going to put that on this show, but I guess I don't have to. Apparently, I've put it everywhere.
Well, if anybody has missed what we're talking about, just check one of Leo's many social networks.
It's an app. Actually, I'm going to make it my Gizwiz, daily Gizwiz pick
there
of the
go.
Week. That's what I'll do. Hey, let's talk about Audible.com.
All right.
Audible works great on the iPad, by the way, as well as the iPhone. There is an Audible app for the iPhone. I don't think they do one for the iPad. It doesn't matter, because what's great about Audible is you can buy an Audible book, and it will put it in the iTunes library after you download it. And from then on, you just sync with your iPad, and you've got all your books on here. And I just love it. In fact, the iPad already knows about Audible and actually has a section for audiobooks, which makes it very easy to, oops, that's iTunes U. There's my audiobooks. And I've got War and Peace. How about that? War and Peace on my iPad. Am I an intellectual
this
or what?
Is Audible. War and Peace.
War and Peace. Book 8.
Well, it's going to take a while.
Part 10, Chapter 1.
Part 10,
it's
Chapter 1.
It's almost 7 hours, of goodness.
And that's, there's 10 parts.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like 70 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I figured if I ever use my iPad, I will have something good to listen to. Actually, I am a big fan, as you know. Audible.com, 100,000 titles. Actually, that's the last time I counted. I think there's probably more.
Mm-hmm. It's over that now.
Well over that. All you have to do if you want to get a free book is go to audiblepodcast.com/iPad today. The hard part is, what do you choose? There's so many great books.
Although, you know what's out now? Inside Apple.
That's Adam Leshinsky's book, and that's a great one. There's, of course, the Steve Jobs book as well, but this, I think, is a good read. Lots of inside tips.
Well, and
let's listen a little
detail.
Bit.
Also on display for
so
the
Adam's
last
reading
time
this.
Was a different breed of CEO, one who exhibited personality traits, narcissism, whimsy, disregard for the feelings of others, that society normally dismisses as negatives.
Adam
Leshinsky, but are they?
Inside the Apple really Apple blows does. The lid off of Apple. A lot of people have been talking about this. But there's so many books. That's a good one. The Steve Jobs biography by Walter Isaacson is also on there. You get a credit for a free book just by going to audiblepodcast.com/iPad today. Joining the Gold Plan, which is a book a month. Yeah, go ahead and do that. Just join it right now and pick a book, and you're going to love it. When you're in your car, when you're at the gym. I go on the treadmill. There's nothing more boring than a treadmill, right? But if you've got an audiobook, you actually walk longer. It will improve your health. There's Baratunde Thurston's book.
Or you just go on a walk, you know?
I listen when I walk. I listen when I walk the dog.
I actually have started to listen when I'm going to be performing a complicated recipe, because I just want to, like, get into some sort of a zone.
How interesting. Not music. You don't mind having a book.
Well, I listen to music, too.
Yeah.
But no, it's like,
I listen when I cook all the time.
It kind of gives me some focus, something else to think about type thing. By the way, it is an iPhone app for Audible.
But it works fine on
the iPad.
It
works perfectly
fine
on the iPad. Obviously, portrait mode only. But, you can.
So what's nice about that app is you can get every book you've ever bought on Audible. It shows up in your library, so you can go back and listen. Just like a real, book library.
Yeah.
I love it. Audible.com. Why don't you try it today? Audiblepodcast.com/iPad today. You'll get your free book right now.
Free book. And now it's time for the AppCap Award.
Now, you've got a very special AppCap on today, young lady. Want to tell us about that?
Well, I didn't know who gave me this, because it showed up on my desk the other day, and I went, oh, cool hat. Looks like somebody hand-knitted it, and it's got ears. Very Yoda-like.
It's so cute.
And then you told me it was Dr. Mom, who, of course, is one of our very favorites. She's always in chat. She's a loyal Twit viewer. So, Dr. Mom, thank you so much. I love it.
She's an actual doctor.
Yes.
She was at our meetup with Dick DiBartolo in New York City last week, and we had breakfast together. And I said, how could you be a physician and you're always in our chat room? And she said, because I work the early shift. So she's done. When we go on the air about 2 in the afternoon, she's already done her full day. She starts very early in the morning. So she listens while she does her projects, while she knits.
I actually sort of always wondered that, too.
Yeah,
because
she seems like she's always here. Yeah.
Now I know. Dr. Mom is actually, she has called into TNT to give us some perspective on medical issues, which don't come up that often on TNT, but they have.
Yep.
So, yes, Dr. Mom, you're the best.
She said she thought you'd like it because it has a little kitty cat.
I love it.
Isn't that cute?
Somebody mentioned ogre ears. It does have kind of a Shrek type thing, with the ears that turn down a little bit, but it's brown, so it matches everything.
If it were green, you'd look like Shrek
or Yoda.
But, she's very cute.
I love
cute.
It.
Thank you, Dr.
It's really cute. I love it. That's awesome. Thank you.
She goes to work at 5 a.m.
That's early.
Hey, people get sick at all hours.
That's true. They don't. One of my cousins is a night shift nurse.
Right.
She prefers it. She
sure.
says, my boss isn't there. It's great.
Sure.
Well, you know, helping people is great. I think there's probably some not that great things about it. So here's my app cap. These, of course, are Leo and my picks of the week for apps that we like for no particular reason, just that they're awesome and we discovered them. Mine is BuzzFeed.
Now, I love this website. Is this an app version of the website?
That's exactly what it is, Leo. BuzzFeed website, if you're familiar with it, is very, very good with stuff that is being passed around the internet, very meme-y type things.
Keep up on the meme, baby.
Yeah, yeah. So you can, and they have different categories, like there's a funny section. And these are also, people who are familiar with BuzzFeed know that once you're logged in, if I was to read, you know, a story about the 16 cats who can use the toilet, then I have
yes,
all these.
Not one, not two, but 16.
16 different ones. Yeah, exactly.
Then you could choose LOL.
I can say, this is geeky.
OMG.
Not really.
You gotta be logged
I'm
in.
I'm not actually signed in yeah. to this particular app yet. But then you have categories of stuff where you're like, I just want to look at geeky stuff. So that kind of, you know, applies to us a little bit more. What's interesting about BuzzFeed, though, is that up until now, I always sort of associated BuzzFeed with just a fun place to waste a little time. You know, you read a little celebrity gossip. You see funny things about cats or sports players or that sort of thing. They've actually hired a few people.
Recently,
yeah. In fact, one of them was from, I think it's Gizmodo,
mm-hmm.
To run a gadget area mm-hmm. of BuzzFeed.
They're starting to do some serious
and
journalism.
And some more political
That's
news.
Right.
Of course, this is a big year for politics, That's and right. BuzzFeed realizes that they can capitalize on that. So it's not, I don't want to make it seem like BuzzFeed is just this silly place, just with a bunch of goofy stuff, because they're trying to not change their brand, but to flesh out their brand. So there's that funny stuff, but there's also really important topical news information. And this is just a great app because the website, if you're familiar with it, there's a lot more going on. This is a nice, much more streamlined
version. Mr. Library 03 says, is there a lot of not safe for work stuff in there? There is some adult stuff, but not a lot of it.
No, this is pretty tame.
Yeah.
It's
if you don't think a cat pooping is NSFW, I think you're all right.
How to speak Wookiee, for example.
Yeah, that's
you know,
safe.
It's, just, it's like, this is Everybody a fun needs- thing. And of course, you can say, like, I hate this for whatever reason. You can add comments. Yeah. That'll also show up on the same article on the website, so that's nice. And then, of course, you've got all of your sharing options. You know, it's not even really worth mentioning anymore because all the apps have this now. But you can share things like that with your friends. Yeah, but as far as like risque content, BuzzFeed is pretty tame for the most part. So
you may find an occasional Kardashian.
Yeah, I mean Jersey Shore, Vinny. That might be too NSFW for people right there.
Depends on your.
Just depends on what you're looking right. at. Okay, I see the SH word. So. All right, so
there's a little
your mileage may vary, but
right.
I love BuzzFeed. It's a free app. Can't go wrong.
It's not like slash b slash. It's more like
no, cheeseburger.
Or something like that.
Yes,
yeah.
That's much better comparison.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting because I always forget to go to the website. I always think every time I see a link, I go, oh, I should check BuzzFeed every day because that's how you really keep up on what's going on. And you're always doing that to me. You're saying things, well, you know, the Nyan cat. And I'm going, what's this?
No, but that's
so if I would just go to the website more. But now I can just use the app and I'll be much more likely to check that on a regular basis. So we did a whole show a couple weeks back on tweeting. And everybody's favorite app for tweeting on the iPhone was not yet out for the iPad. And so we talked about a lot of good Twitter apps. And you can go back and watch that show. But we did not mention Tweetbot. Well, Tweetbot just came out this week for the iPhone. Now, you said... or the iPad, I should say. You said that you actually prefer the generic Twitter app.
Well, on iPad, I like the Twitter app. I am happy with the Twitter app. I mean, okay, I guess there are a couple things I hope that they fix, but I'm used to it. I'm pretty loyal. But the iPhone app, I may be one of the only people in the world.
I think so.
Who doesn't
Everybody
totally
loves
hate
Tweetbot.
It.
Everybody. And the thing about Tweetbot is the sounds, which you don't get from Twitter. So Tweetbot, I'm not kidding. Tweetbot makes
some... I'm the latter in command of
Oh, I'm sorry. War and Peace is still going. Hold on.
Oh, Leo.
And then Anna Karenina started to say hello, and the war began. So this is Tweetbot, the timeline. It has the traditional, everybody should know this, you tap the time, and almost all Twitter apps, you will jump to the top.
Mm-hmm. Almost all apps, really.
Almost all apps. It's really a useful thing. Timeline, messages, Those are direct messages. Favorites. There's a search. You can save searches as well. So if you've saved a search, let's say for CES, it'll give you all the CES tweets. You can look at your own profile and see what your tweets are. This is actually even a little easier, I think, to find than doing it on the Twitter page. It's got your lists. It's got your retweets. This is a nice feature. You can mute people via or people or hashtags or even clients. So if you say, I don't want to see anybody from Echo Phone, I don't know why you'd use that. I guess some clients might be more spammy than others. It does have multiple account functionality. I'm right now looking at Leo Laporte, but I could look at my links for Twitter account as well.
I mean, look at compare that. I mean, the layouts are very similar to
very
the native iPad app that's on my screen.
Very
but
similar.
Look at all of the options that you have on Tweetbot. And then I've just got, you know, I've got the regular stuff. It's
a
fine.
Little more feature rich. It's $2.99 and you get more. For instance, triple tap, 1, 2, 3, and you can actually configure this 1, 2, 3, and it'll open up a reply.
Oh, that's cool.
For you. That's, you know, whatever you do the most, you can make be a triple tap. All of that mm-hmm. is here in the settings. There's quite a bit of functionality built in that I think you will like. It does not have Discover. That was the thing, of course, that Twitter put in that everybody was so excited about. But it does, have a very nice tweet box. It's big. It shows you the current character count. You can tweet to either account or any account directly from that box.
Yeah,
gives you location. And you can even do more specific locations if you want. Or not, as you may not want anybody to know where you are. I just think, you know, it takes pictures and attachments and tags and so forth.
People generally consider Tweetbot to be the best Twitter experience. I mean, this is not
like
free
it.
And it's not native,
yeah.
But it's the ability to mute people. And I mean, I wouldn't name anybody here on this show,
that's
but
nice.
There are quite a few people I follow that I wish I could mute every once
yeah.
in a while.
Well, not all the time, but let's say everybody's talking about Mobile World Congress in a couple of weeks
exactly.
and you don't want to hear it all. So
mm-hmm.
there's certain advantages to it. I think they do a very nice job. It's very clean, $2.99. It is, I would say, a better Twitter client. In fact, now that it's out on the iPad, I use it on the iPhone. I'm going to be using it on the iPad as well. And you'll like the sound effects. It makes cute little sounds when you...
That's fine. You know, I used to like Twitterific because I liked the little birdie sound.
Yeah.
And then people started making fun of me.
You get sick
like,
of that.
Why would you
yeah.
want... Ugh, God, it's so stupid. So, I don't know why. It's to each their own. But you like the Tweetbot sound, so...
I do.
It's nice to know that they also have come through in the iPad app. So, $3.
It's also very fast.
Possibly a better Twitter experience.
And I think sometimes people complain about the speed of other Twitter apps, and this is the I think the fastest one out there is... Boom, boom, boom.
Well, that's helpful, too.
Lickety-split.
So, that's Tweetbot. So, I got BuzzFeed. And you got Tweetbot, and now we're at the end of our hour of iPad Today.
That's
try not
right,
to cry.
Mary.
Try not to cry, because we're going to do this next week, same time, same place.
It's a jolly holiday with Sarah. Only Sarah can make the iPad sing. We thank you for being here.
We do.
And we invite you to come back next week.
Please do.
And I'll clean your chimney for a little money, Governor. See you later on iPad Today.